Well, welcome to our first Married for a Purpose coaching call. We're super excited, as we already said to you offline, that you're joining the conversation tonight. You know, at the end of the call, we want to just give you some specifics if you'd like to talk about throughout the call. You're going to have the opportunity to participate by asking your question, by simply pressing star 6. Some of you are real familiar with this system. Some of you are brand new. But if you do have a call at the end, we'll give you kind of the cue that, hey, it's going to be Q&A time. So if you have a question about the call, or if you have a question about something that you're doing through the courses, we'd love to be able to take those calls. And the only thing you have to do is just press star 6. And that'll let us know that you have a question.
Or if they have a comment, if you've got a comment or a best practice or something that you want to chime in on, please do, because we want to learn from you as well.
Yeah, and you can always say how brilliant we are at the end of the call, and we'll make sure we keep it, you know, recording. Just don't say anything mean.
For those days that we're depressed and we need some encouragement too, yes.
You know, seriously, though, tonight's call is just a great way for every couple to begin their commitment to growth. So if you've ever felt stuck, wondered what you needed to do more of, what you needed to maybe let go of, if you've wanted greater clarity, connection to face life together with greater unity, but maybe just feeling a little stuck or weren't quite sure how, that infamous how question, to discern what your next steps were, we want to encourage you to grab your pen, grab the worksheets that we sent you, and let's dive in.
Now, inevitably, there's somebody here who's scratching their head going, wait a minute, what do you mean worksheets? There's worksheets? Yes, there's worksheets. So if you don't have your worksheet yet, because I know there's somebody out there scrambling around going, what are they talking about? It's in your email. So whoever was the person who actually signed up in that email, you should have received it. I think you sent that out this morning, right?
It automatically did.
This morning or whatever it does.
If you're online, you can also see on our wall over to the right, there's some resources. You can download it from there, but you should have gotten a link, yes.
Outstanding. So as you're scrambling around there and getting that and preparing to take some notes, let me just quickly give you an overview for us. Now, most of the folks on this call, if not all of you actually, we know you personally. And so some of this disclosure, some of what I'm getting ready to say is not so much for you, but it's for the folks that may come on later on and actually listen to this as a recording. It's just a quick overview of Julie and I. We've been married for 2 decades now, and it seems like we've lived about, I don't know, 4 or 5 decades worth of life in the last 2 decades that we've been together, right?
In the last month.
Well, that's true. I don't think I'd push back on that too much. But together we published several different e-courses and several different books, most of them on marriage and relationship. We hold certifications in human behavior, body language. We're licensed life plan facilitators with the Patterson Life Center. And, of course, we are certified through John Maxwell and have been in that program since it kicked off in the beginning, I guess about, 6, 7 years ago now, something like that. We hold degrees in theology and pastoral ministry. We've owned and ran a variety of businesses and anything from convenience stores to home health care companies and managing life and health insurance offices. Today, we spend most of our time ministering to marriages, and we've coached and been advisors to several Fortune 100 companies and CEOs. And bottom line is you know, we've been out there, we've been working at this for quite some time. And I guess maybe as I said, if you were on the launch call, I think that maybe one of the more pertinent things is that we've just screwed life up all kinds of different ways. So. We're no stranger to the rain. If you can blow it, we've pretty much blown it. But the good thing about us is that we've been very persistent, and we've learned a lot from our mistakes. And so that's one of the reasons that I think that we were called to this kind of a ministry, because we just reserve any judgment. We don't have any judgment on you or where you're at in your faith walk, if you've got one, or in your marriage and some of the craziness that happens, because, you know, we've raised 3 kids now. We've got a 22-year-old
Oh,
my Lord. She's 24 now?
24, 19, and 17.
See, I'm a dad. I'm trying to hold her back, keep her young. Anyhow. I don't want to hold you hostage here tonight, so let me jump in. the bottom line is that we've fought to have a great relationship. Those of you who see us today, you look at us and you think, man, that's the marriage I want. And it's probably true, but at the same time, like we said, we've really fought for it. We know struggle. We've encountered adversity, and at times, we've had more opportunities and tasks to do in any given day than the hours that there are in a day to get them done. Can I get an amen? I got a feeling I can. We felt in over our head. We felt confused. We felt frustrated. In fact, recently, probably all three of those things, we struggled to know what to put our hand to and maybe even what we need to let go of. Sometimes that's the hardest part, is knowing what to let go of. But especially as opportunities begin to present themselves more and more, it becomes, you know, a little bit harder to discern. And the more appealing and plentiful the opportunities are and have become, the more we realized that we needed to devise a system that would help us to know more quickly what we needed to put our attention to and what we need to drop immediately, or provide an exit strategy for some of the things that we're already committed to so that we can let go of those. And that is exactly what tonight's call is all about. So if you've got your pen and a printout ready now, then let's dive in straight up. For the next 15 minutes or so, like I said, we don't want to hold you hostage. We designed this plan specifically for busy couples because we know every one of you are. So in the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to provide five questions that are going to help you to live with greater clarity and connection. As you unpack your answers together, it'll help you better discern what your next steps are as a couple and really give you, I don't know, the cues to the quality of our questions make a huge difference in our outcome, don't they? And so these questions are questions that Julie and I go over not only on an annual basis, but honestly, we try to go over them once a quarter. And they're very refreshing. They always add a certain amount of clarity. Now, you're going to have to take some time after the call to sit down and go over these. We like to say, don't just try to get it done. Like, let it bake a little bit. Think about it. Document your answers. And we know that if you do that, that you're going to end up with a lot more clarity as you move into 2019 and kick its hind end. Love, you want to take over?
Sure. So the first question, and, you know, we say it's five questions, but I think with every question we have about 10 or 15 more questions that will help to bring clarity to the question.
That's my girl.
So as we're going through this, if a particular question stands out in your notes, you might just write that question to bring in further, so that when you guys are talking about it, sharing together, it just helps you to go another layer deeper. So the first question is simply, what's right in your life and marriage right now? In other words, what are you celebrating as a couple? What is it that, as the two of you come together, that you just love to do together? These are the things that you're going to want to make sure that you safeguard. The things that you want to perpetuate in your life. And one of the things that Greg and I really try to do is that we think about these questions holistically. So what's going well with you personally as a couple in your health, maybe your finances, your rest, your replenishment time as a couple? What is it that you're celebrating that's really going well that you want to make sure you're perpetuating? Or how about your family? Are you having some good quality time, connection? Is there a rhythm for spending time together? So as you're thinking about your family, what are those things that you're really celebrating, that you want to highlight, that you want to make sure you're protecting and keeping room for in your life? Or next part would be your career. What are you celebrating there? Do you feel like you have a healthy balance? Are you getting promotions? Do you feel acknowledged? Is there some real good health in that workplace? What do you love about what you do? Now, you may be tempted to go to some of the things that you want to change in some of these areas, but hold on.
Right
now, what we're talking about is the things that you love. What are the things that you're celebrating, you really enjoy, and you want to make sure you protect and have more of? How about the area of your faith? You know, you may really have a unity in your vision, in your faith. What's going well there? Do you share an openness as a communication, as a couple in that area? Finally, how about your community? Community is those things like other couple friends or your environment outside of your immediate family. Who brings life to your relationship that, man, you really love spending time with them and you want to make sure you spend more time with those individuals? Or there's something in your community outside of your job that you guys have put your hand to that you really enjoy that you want to perpetuate. So what's right? What are you celebrating? What are you truly grateful for in your life and marriage? Now, I rattled off those questions pretty quick. We want to encourage you to write down any initial thoughts, but as Greg said, it's more important later to come back, begin to talk about those things together, of what it is that you love, what you want to perpetuate, and make more room for. What are you celebrating that you want to be sure that you safeguard? And since I went so fast, just a quick reminder, these calls are recorded, and you can come back to them later. We'll be emailing the recording out, but you'll also be able to find them on the online university.
Well, love, I love that you opened up with that question specifically. You know, it's easy for us to get in the habit of discerning and identifying all the different things that we need to change and all the things that are wrong and all the things that we wish we were better or that were better in life, in relationship, in career, in our faith, you know, and in our family and our parenting and, you know, all those finances, you know, I mean, you name it. It's easy to identify what's wrong, but it is so incredibly important. We have found over the years that if we can begin processes like this, and certainly, again, annually, and hopefully you can do this quarterly, is ask yourself these kind of questions. It's amazing because we've done this. It's not the first time we've asked these questions. When we ask folks these questions, we find that almost every single time folks come back to us like, man, that was a little bit harder to answer than what I thought, you know. So as we cruise through these tonight and you come back and you begin to discuss these, just don't let it catch you off guard if it takes you a minute to come up with some really good and true answers. It's part of the deal. But never forget to celebrate the small steps that you've made and never forget to be grateful for the things that are going well and that are right. So, again, Julie's question, what's right? Now, the second question is complete opposite. It's what's wrong. What's wrong? What do you want to change? Tell me, what is it that steals your time? Be pausing you think about that. What is it that eats away at your time? What is it, and I don't like this kind of language really, but it's necessary for this part of the exercise. What is it that, what do you want to make sure that you don't do? What do you want to get rid of? If you could just adjust just one thing from your life that steals your energy, what's that thing? What do you need to change? What's wrong? Think about this question as it pertains to you as an individual personally, as it pertains to you all as a couple, as it applies to your family, your career, your faith, and your community. Those are the five domains of life. And that's why we always just remind you of the five domains of life. Because, you know, it's easy, again, to get sidetracked and think, you know, well, I can think of a lot of things that, you know, is wrong with my career or my finances or whatever. But if you take a holistic approach, I think you find yourself a little bit closer to getting clarity and kind of greasing the skids of life, if you will. Because when we get that clarity, now we've got a target. We know what it is that we got more awareness, right? So again, are there some friends maybe that you need to spend less time with? I promise you this, almost every single year when we go through this, not every quarter necessarily, but when we take a deep dive, years in and years beginning, we almost always find people that it's like, man, you know, thought they were going to get on the train with us, but we probably need to spend less time with them because they're kind of energy stealers and they're just not on the same page as we are. And you know, they're not responding to, you know, things that we're trying to help them with, if that happens to be the case. But anyway, you can probably identify a couple of people you'd like to spend some less time with. Who are the people that bring you down as a couple? Are there any? What do you need to alter? Are there areas that you need to modify when it comes, for instance, to your physical well-being? Are you eating right? Are you exercising? Are you drinking plenty of water? I'm just saying. How about intellectually? Are you feeding your intellectual? Are you feeding your mind? Are you growing? How about emotional? Are you emotionally depleted, or are there things that are wrong there that you need to change in order to become emotionally replenished? And then, of course, last but certainly not least, it probably should be first, is our spiritual well-being. So what do you need to change as it pertains to how you're spending your time? Are there some relationships that you need to be more intentional to connect with? Are there people that you really should be or want to be spending more time with? Have you devised a strategy to make sure that you're doing that? Maybe the spot that's open and the folks that you decided you might want to spend less time is a good place to backfill with those folks that you need and want to spend more time. So how about this? How's your time for connection with one another? How's dating going? How much fun are you having? I mean, like, listen, we like to use a term like serious fun. You know? Like, we are serious about having fun.
We're going to have fun. Even if it kills us, we're going to have fun.
And sometimes it almost has. But simply list the things that you'd like to change. And then together, consider one way for each one of those things that you listed that you can come back and make those changes together. And then think to yourself, how can you support and have this discussion? How can you support one another in those changes? Good friend and mentor of mine sent out an email, I think it was today, that said that, did you know that today, this particular day of the year, statistically, is the single day that you are most likely to give up on your New Year's resolutions? Isn't that crazy? I mean, we barely even scratched the surface of the year. But it happens. I'll avoid going into teaching a lesson on that. But the bottom line is that if you'll take some time and just review what's wrong and what are some things that you want to change, and then discuss how you can support one another in each one of those, then again, we think that will give you good clarity. In fact, we know it'll give you good clarity on what direction to go from here to begin to call those things into alignment.
Awesome. All right, let's move along here. The third question then on your worksheet is, what's missing? Man, if you could add something to your life, to your marriage, what would you add? What do you want more of? So this is where it's, what's lacking? What do you want to put some attention to that you really yearn for? It might be fun, right? It might be, hey, we're really missing out on here, and we want to add a little bit more fun. Personally, are there some areas that you've let slip that you want to get back to? Maybe it's time for more reflection, rest, replenishment. And if your spirit's going, oh, yeah, then make sure you're adding that to your list. Do you want more fun? What would you like to enhance, include, or insert into your life personally? How about in your family? You know, at one time, we were really, really passionate about making sure that we had 5 meals around the kitchen table. Now that number's come down to probably about 3 and sometimes 2. So we have to make sure that maybe it's not more meals. Maybe it's more connection during those meals. But in your family, what do you want to add there? We recently decided that we were going to start daddy date nights with the kids, where Greg would take Joshua, and the night he takes Joshua, I'm taking Summer. So there's the mommy part of it with the daughter. And then we're going to switch. You know, there's going to be times where he's taking Summer and I'm taking Joshua. And the reason why we're doing that is because we're at the season of life now where it's great to have the family time, and we also find that there is just a power of being able to have some one-on-one time. So being able to think about your family, where you're at, if you have kids, if maybe it's not your kids, maybe it's your parents, you know, in that extended family time. How much time do you need to spend with it? Is there something missing there that you want of? Now, this is not a got to. This is something that's missing that you want to. So make sure you're listing those things out. How about variety in your date nights? Man, have we ever fell into the trap with, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go to eat?
And go to eat. Yeah. We've gone on just shop for groceries on date night, for crying out loud.
That was real. Yeah. So we realized, you know what, if we're going to talk about having fun, we may need to have some fun. And that's where it's great. We have a group of people here local that will go out to a new restaurant, and we're going to try all the new restaurants in Martin County. So how can you, if you need variety in your date nights, just list it out now and come back and brainstorm later. Yeah. What makes a day more complete? And I think that's a great thing to think about. When you think about a day and a life, and what makes it more complete when you make room for it? Maybe some of you just simply need a plan, a budget, a schedule, more freedom. How about margin? Whew, there's another amen, huh, Greg?
Yep.
You know, it's what are some of the get-tos of life that have been crowded out by your got-tos, right? What do you want to add back into your life? These are the things that make you laugh or, again, make you feel more complete. Could be meaningful conversations, vacations. How about in your career? What would make a day more meaningful in your workplace? Do you need more organization? Consider that domain again, coming back to your faith and your community. What's missing? Do you need more quiet time? Retreat? Time to simply listen to get inspired? How about your community? Do you need to plan a dinner date with some friends? Reach out to, again, some extended family members. What's missing that you'd like to add more into your day today and this upcoming year? These are the, man, I wish we could do more of that, or this would really help if we just had this in our life. What could you add that would help you to make your dreams come true? As we move along, I'll just jump in here, take this next question too. The next question is, what's confused? You know, what right now, as you stop and you ponder and you're spending the time here, thanks for being on the call. It shows your intentionality. And I'm guessing that some of you, much like us, go through seasons of life where you feel a little confused and you start to feel like your mind's all tangled up. It just feels disordered. So what feels disordered right now or tangled up in your mind? What do you feel puzzled by? What perplexes you that, man, I wish we could just gain a little more clarity around this? Are there areas in particular that feel complicated? And look, you may have some things in your personal, your family, your career, faith, community. It might be all of those domains, or it might just be one of them. As we give those domains of life, we just want you to give a little thought and attention to it. You may have something there. You may not have something there, but what causes you to feel tripped up that you just can't quite put your finger on how to overcome it? List those items out. And then here's what we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to begin to envision your ideal outcome, both in that area and just in your marriage and life overall. If this situation were resolved, what took place? What answers came about? What answers solved your confusion? And maybe even go as far as, who helped you in overcoming that confusion?
Good stuff. Great questions. Got my gears turning already.
I know,
again,
right?
Too. We do this all the time, and it's still like, okay, last question here. Told you we wouldn't hold you hostage, so let me give you the last one. Final question. This question offers us the greatest revelation for our next steps. It really does. So when we answer this question, we know better what to say yes to and what to say no to, what we need to add, what we need to remove, because we know what we need to safeguard for and manage against. So, you ready? Here it is. Final question. What do you want? What do you want? In your most perfect vision, in your most perfect future, what are you doing? What are you enjoying? What's your ultimate aim? You know, what do you aspire to experience? Oftentimes, a friend of ours, Ed DaCosta, used to say that with his clients, and we totally ripped him off, and he knows it too, but we use it all the time too. But, you know, if we were holding up a DVD and we were going to plug it in, say, 1 year from now, okay, so we're in January of 2020. Oof, 2020. Wow. I didn't know the world would last that long, actually. I remember when I was a kid, they said it was all going to end in, like, what was it, 1983 or something like that? And then again in 1999. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to squirrel on you there. But if we were to plug in this DVD and it has your name on it, and we're going to watch the highlights of you two as a couple of 2019, if things went well and you're proud of what we're going to watch on that DVD, then what exactly are we going to be watching? See, when you document that, you're really documenting what you want. You're documenting and making a notation and creating a target for you to aim for this year. And then I just want to remind you to consider them in all five domains of life very quickly. Again, you've got them by now, I'm sure. But personal, family, career, faith, and community. One more time. Personally, family, career, faith, and community. So as you're thinking about those questions, I know that when the two of you come together and really spend some time doing a little bit of a deep dive, you're going to come out of it with a tremendous sense of clarity in your life. And it only makes sense that you would, because those are some very simple questions, yet, as we said before, we've done it ourselves many times, and we've led many people through the exercise many times, and it's always a little bit of an egg scrambler, you know, there's always at least one or two. Jules, I would love to put you on the spot while we're ready to open it up for Q&A, right?
Yep.
So, anybody's got a comment or a question, if you'll star six, Julie's going to let you in and allow you to ask a question or make a comment. Even if you've got a question about the program, if there's something you don't understand yet or you're having trouble with, you know, we're here, we're live with you, we're happy to answer any questions and try to help you with that. But again, if you got any questions or comments on tonight's lesson or any thoughts concerning these questions, then feel free to hit star six and we'll grab you. It's tradition usually. I mean, when you start a program like this, it takes folks a couple of calls before they get really warmed up. But you guys, most of you are old pros, so don't be scared. So, Julie, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I want you to think about, first of all, what's right.
I think what's right now is our relationship with one another. And we've went through a really busy season, have had some incredible opportunities, and even more that are opening up. So when we say that, you know, we go from good to great, right? We want to live for great. And there's a place right now where there are a lot of really great things. And I don't know, I think somebody should write the book Great to Greater, because the opportunities that are coming up. But the thing that I love that I'm celebrating is God's brought us to a place where our intent is not the big, polished, like we want to do things with excellence, but our heart right now is simply to serve. And that weight that sometimes I used to pick up, I'm a type A personality, get her done, right? And if it's not getting done, I'm going to get her done some more. And I'm just at a place now, and we're at a place now as a couple that we're celebrating the opportunities, but not killing ourselves in the process to perform. And so it's a place where we're celebrating the opportunities, celebrating people, celebrating. It's rather, and you hear us say this a lot, marriage ministry or standing on stage or writing books isn't something we do. It's who we are.
Yep.
And I'm learning even better to celebrate who we are rather than worrying about having to perform.
Yeah, or what we do. I love that. I think that's true. I think, you know, the other thing that's right is our relationship with all of our kids is really good. You know, we've got some great ministry momentum right now, and we're very, very grateful for that. But we also have so many other things, so many different aspects of our life that that are going well as well, too. So I'm going to go ahead and let's see.
I think Melissa wants to talk.
Takeaway 702, you got a question or a comment?
Oh, yeah, it's Brandon. I was just going to say that, you know, recently I was at work and a question came up to a bunch of managers, like in a icebreaker thing with like five or six men. And the question was something like, you know, hey, if you could get away with, you know, cheating with one famous person, who would it be? You know, and all these men answered it as if they'd already thought about this question. And that was like a common question among married couples. You know, who would you give your spouse permission to cheat on if you, you know, if it ever came up? And I'd heard that question before, but in the midst of the managers, I refused to answer it for obvious reasons. But I think what that made me think of is that for you guys, it's, you mentioned at the very beginning, I just want to reiterate that the questions you ask are important, and being intentional to ask the right questions is so crucial to where you head with your mind and with your life. And so these questions you're asking are really powerful, and so thank you for bringing these. And then furthermore, I think one thing that I can do better is not just ask myself, do I know these questions? Because I do, but man, am I really making the time to ask them and ask them regularly? And so that's really the question I'm asking myself is, am I making time for this? Am I blocking off time on the calendar to ask these questions and being really intentional about the questions and then making time to ask those questions consistently? And so that's the thing that I know for us that we need to do on a regular basis is put it on the calendar and be really intentional with the right questions and then protect that time on a regular basis so we can continue to head in the right direction.
Yeah, there's some meat on those bones, man. I mean, there really is. I appreciate your transparency, too, in your comments. Julie, what are you trying to say to me? She's making sign language over here.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, with that, one of the things that you just said, Brandon, that I think is super cool, and that is, am I making time to ask these questions consistently? So you've already did the second step, if you will. It's to ask the question, but then next to it, what one way can I make this happen? And there were a lot of questions thrown at you guys tonight. I think the next part of that is to simply put that action step, and we mentioned it at the beginning. What one way can you participate to live into that vision? What one way can you make this thing that you either want to celebrate more of or you want to change, something that's confused, something that's missing? What one way can you participate to make sure that you don't give up on your dreams? If you think about 15 different things you need to do, it might get overwhelming, but if you choose one way, that's a little bit more doable.
Outstanding. Thanks for those comments. And you're right, Brandon, about the questions. We're getting ready to go ahead and unmute Grant there and Stephanie, and we'll see what they've got. But, hey, you know, again, those questions do certainly lead our mind to a particular area. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even want to think about that question. I certainly wouldn't want to try to come up with an answer to it. Did they pop back out, or did we kick them out, or what happened? Anybody that's got a, you did?
I just unmuted Grant and Stephanie, yep.
Hey, 918, we're not supposed to really say their names.
Oh,
anything,
sorry.
Anyway, I think in this case we'll be okay, but if you drop a bomb, you know, we'll try to figure out how to cover it up, man. So, you guys got a question or a comment?
Yeah, one thing we always struggle with is really the time issue, and I was just kind of curious, you know, how do you determine when it's time to finally tell someone, you know, this is it, you know, you're eating up too much of my time, and so it's time to part ways, you know what I mean? And you kind of consider yourself in the mentorship trainer type role, when you're as old as we are, you know, when do you call that, you know, we've had enough, it's time to move on?
You know what, I love that question, Grant, and I really appreciate that you asked that question, because we do, in fact, have an answer, and we had to figure that out. And I think I think for me, and Julie may have something that she wants to weigh in on this too, or she may just completely agree because we pretty much surf the same wave most of the time. But when we are pouring into someone, as you mentioned, in like a mentorship relationship, and we just seem to keep running the same loop over and over again. It's like every time we meet, we're playing a tape. And we're just re-listening to the same garbage over and over again, it's an indication that there's not any growth happening and that we really are just wasting our time with that individual. It may feel good. Some people, you know, Julie and I just had a conversation about this morning. One of our family members, in regards with one of our family members, were like, man, the last thing in the world I want is somebody's pity, you know? And it seems like there's some people that every time we talk to them, that that's all that they really want is they just want us to pet them and feel sorry for them. And that's all they really want. I'm sorry. I'm not your Huckleberry on that one. I'm just not. I'm not. It's not that I'm trying to be harsh or mean, and there's a time and a place for it, fair enough. But if that's the tape that we're playing over and over again, I'm sorry, I'm not in. I'm going to be spending less time with you. It's just not. You know, so I think a lack of growth, a lack of response, a lack of change. There have been some people, looking at it from a different angle, there have been some people actually who we have decided to spend a lot less time with because they're just energy sappers. You know, when we monitor and pay attention to our energy, if we dread going to be with them, or, which sounds terrible, but it happens, or if after we've been with them, we feel depleted and drained or stressed or just wrung out. Again, it sounds harsh, but I believe that if we're going to become all that God's created us to be, that who we surround ourselves and who we spend our time with, who we pour into, who we allow to pour into us, and then just as equally important, the people that we're going to do life with on a day-to-day basis, you know, are incredibly important. And unfortunately, sometimes it's an area of our lives that can get ignored if we're not careful. Julie, would you add anything to that, Lev?
Well, since you went first, and Greg does this because then I get to stop and I get to think a little bit more.
Yeah, I was just talking, you know, I can figure something out, but then she says something really intelligent. So always wait to hear Julie's comment. You know?
So what I would say to that is there are kind of two different ways that we look at it, and we really do this. There are either people that are supporting us so that we can fulfill our vision. In other words, they're pouring into us. They come alongside us. They're our mission partners. They're the people that inspire us or cause us to up our game, or the opposite. So they're either supporting our vision or they provide an opportunity for our mission. And what I mean by that is there are those that come along that support the vision, that draw us up, that make us to be a better version of ourselves. Those are the people we want to spend time with, or they're the people that provide us the opportunity to do our mission and where we can be a pouring out to them to draw them up. Now, Greg and I have some distinct qualities that we look for. We work with people who are growth-minded. This came as a hard lesson because we used to pour ourselves out, and I would say I was probably even more guilty. I wanted everybody to know that they were created on purpose for a purpose. And all of a sudden, I realized there were a lot of time wasters. There were people that we were having the same conversation with over and over. And I just remember in one particular instance, I looked across the table at this woman and I thought, we've had this conversation now for 3 years. And I've given the best that I've got. And you still have value, but I'm obviously not bringing it out in you,
right?
Which then becomes a waste of my time, not only for me, but for that person, because I'm not able to draw them up. And so that's one of the things for us that's a key indicator. If we're not causing growth, since we work with growth-minded people, they're either going to be growth-minded, they're going to make the change, or we need to determine our exit strategy. We actually have had coaching clients that we fired because the change wasn't coming, and we realized that we're created to provide pathways to sustainable growth and life transformation. So if that sustainable growth isn't happening and the life transformation isn't happening, that's when we have our exit strategy. So what I would encourage you to do is spend some time with those qualities of people you want to be around, both that lift your game, that draw you up, and then the qualities of the people for your mission that you feel inspired to pour into. And if they don't meet those qualities, it's nothing personal. It just means there's somebody else who'll be able to.
Yeah, it's not like you're kicking people to the curb, you know. It's really the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for them, too, because nobody just wants to sit around and waste time, you know. If you're not able to help somebody or they're not able to, you know, pour back into us, I don't know. You know, there's only so many hours in the day. So you got anything else, Grant or Steph?
I think we're good. Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
Next time we'll call out the 918 number and not your name. So, you know, if you want to, like,
you just told everybody what their phone number is, too.
Well,
so
there might be another 918 in there, you know, or
there
218 or 718 or 818. There you go. We'll just mess it all up.
Go ahead and make the rest of it off. It's okay.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your question. Okay, do we have any other questions? The lines are open. It's *6. And, you know, listen, if you need to jump, but I just love putting Julie on the spot, so I'm going to do it again. So this one may be a little bit more difficult. I don't know. I'm going to hit you with it. Tell me what's wrong.
Ooh, what's wrong? Well, it is a very busy season again.
Right.
And I would say that if there was anything wrong, transparently, I think it is in our dating and having fun of that variety.
Mm.
Like if I could change something right now for the two of us, we scheduled it just so that you guys know, because of some of the assignments and different things, and we chose to do this, and it's okay because there's seasons. And if you've read any of our books, you'll find different seasons that happen in life, and we address that. But if you stay in winter season too long, it dies. So we made some choices to not, like, we had two trips, I think, planned to go to Mexico. So we had the variety planned.
They were paid for. Trips to Mexico paid for. And we had to cancel them.
So one of the things that we want to make sure is that it's busy right now. And we get that, but we're not going to stay in winter season too long, so we've given ourselves the deadlines to reschedule those vacations. But I have to tell you right now, man,
it's a discipline.
Yeah, it's a discipline, and it's good, but I can't wait to have some of that fun.
Yeah, we're due to. I mean, we really are. We've had a very, very busy season, and it's a very productive season. We're happy about that. But I agree with you, babe. But I am glad that you said it, because I think that that's an action item for me, because I just mentioned to Julie earlier this week, I said, man, you know, I suck sometimes. I'm sorry. I use the word suck. So hopefully that doesn't, you know, offend anybody. But anyway, I suck sometimes. Just said it again. And I really...
We got a 772 number.
Okay. Did you unmute him already?
I did.
Okay. So... but I really want to do better and being more intentional about our weekly date and trying to be more creative and plan ahead for that. Because one of the things that we realized, and we're going to get you here 772 in just a second, but one of the things that we realized is that there's a difference between we have a date night every week versus we schedule a date night every week. Because here's what happens. If we schedule it, like I'm serious, dead serious when I say this. When I get up in the morning time, the day that we have a date night scheduled, like it's energy for my day. I'm excited. I'm like, yeah, we get to go out tonight. That's going to be awesome. You know, we're going to spend some time together and chill out and not work and, you know, gaze into each other's eyes or whatever else maybe we decide to do.
Not go to Walmart or Publix.
For our date, right. And if it's a scheduled date night, it just gives us
just
something more
right.
to look forward to. Okay, 772, what you got?
Howdy, we're locals and friends of you all.
Yes, you are. And you're welcome to say your name if you want to. We're just hiding your identity.
Yeah, I was kind of reluctant. I didn't know if I could do that. But anyway, we're Blake and Robin Capps from Hopetown, right down the road from where Greg and Julie live.
We can chuck a rock and hit your house, you know?
Yeah. This is kind of a confession. I guess it comes under what's wrong. And I think I'm kind of an extrovert. And Robin is a good listener. And I tend to talk too much and not be considerate and encouraging to her. And I think that's something that I really need to improve on. And I'm trying to be mindful of, but it's very easy to forget her and her emotional needs. And I tend to vent on her and not ask her enough about how she's feeling and what's going on in her life. So anyway, that's my comment.
Well, I appreciate that, Blake, very much. And I appreciate your transparency as well. I'm sure you're not the only first of all, you're not the only person, but I'm absolutely positive you're not the only guy who can relate to that. My gal, Jules, does a great job of asking me those kind of questions. I just want to encourage you, you know, one of the things that Julie and I love about you all is that you're great conversationalists and that you ask great questions. So the thing about it is that we also know, and in fact, we've had to work through a lot of this within our own marriage, too, that it seems like some of these things are so easy to practice outside the four walls of our home. But man, you know, and I think it's because actually we're a little bit more intentional when we're meeting with friends and other people. But one of the things that Julie and I have noticed about ourselves, and we talk about it a fair amount, is that with comfort, like we get comfortable in our marriage and in our homes, and comfort is the enemy. Make no mistake, we all want comfort. We want to be comfortable, but I'm telling you, comfort is the enemy. It really is, because inevitably, if we stay inside of the comfort zone very long, what happens is there's a brother, a friend, if you will, to comfort, and that is complacency. And I think that what you're talking about, Blake, is probably just that, and it really can be a cancer in a marriage. But the great thing about it is it's easy to fix with just a little bit of intentionality. And one of the things that, you know, we talk about this in one of the videos in the series that are coming up, but I used to sit in the driveway and or on my way home, I would think specifically, like, instead of coming in and expecting my needs to be met, I was real intentional and began to practice, and I had to do this intentionally because it wasn't in my nature, to walk through the threshold to prepare to be a dad and a husband, to meet their needs, to ask them how their day was, to ask them how they're feeling. So, again, it didn't come to me intuitively. Dude, I literally marked it in my calendar to remind myself to do it. So whatever you need to do, appreciate that you have the awareness, and I'm sure Robin does too, and she'd probably give you more credit than what you're giving yourself, but nonetheless, love that you brought it up, love the awareness, yeah. And that's first step. Anything else, y'all?
That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, couple other little ideas too, Blake, from a woman's perspective. I want to encourage all of you. You have the fun and flirty convos. We'll repost those in the Facebook page. If you guys haven't asked to be a part of that membership, go back through your emails and request to be part of that private Facebook group. That's where you get some extras for being part of the membership. But we have some fun, flirty conversations. So you could take those. There's like 52 of them. We'll get those posted up there for you. And you can go in and maybe just choose one of those each week to at some point spring it on her and ask that question. We've also found during our busy seasons, like we just kind of shared transparently, it's a busy season. So it takes a lot more intentionality during busy seasons for us than it does when we have a lot more freedom. And so we'll do things like we'll hide post-it notes, like tell me a secret today. So it's a place, and Greg will
hide. You're sexy, and I like your butt.
No. Okay, well, that's getting too much. So put those post-it notes in different places where it communicates, hey, I want to connect. That's another idea. You could also do something where you take those questions or you intentionally on one time come up with a whole bunch of questions So it's not just, hey, how's your day? I don't know, how's your day? Or back to the infamous, where do you want to eat? I don't know, where do you want to eat? And you take the question and you put it, you create them all in one day, cut them up, put them in a box, and then just pull it out. And it's kind of like the rabbit in the hat. You know, you're just going to pull it out, and that's what you're going to talk about that day. Or so those are just some things. But very simply, if you just determine, there was a season where one of the things that I did is before my feet hit the floor, for me, I wanted to grow in my faith. And so before my feet hit the floor, I would say, God, speak, I'm listening. What one thing do you want me to put my attention to today? What way, one thing do you want to communicate to me today? And then I just waited. And so maybe it would just simply be you choose one question, Blake, that you are intentionally going to ask Robin, and then at some point in the day you ask it. But having that first thought of what's one question I could ask Robin today that would help me to discover her. You guys have been married for a long period of time, and it's a great thing to live in a place where you discover one another consistently. And so those are kind of the input that I would have from a woman's perspective.
Absolutely love that too. And while we're unmuting our next person and couple here, I would just say that I love that word discover. You know, again, Julie, we've been together for a couple decades now,
Greg. My question is about
fire away, jump in there, girl.
I'm sorry, I'm totally confused.
That's okay. I stay that way most of the time, so you're in good company. What's the question or comment? Question,
so I thought you guys were on, it was delayed response. Anyway, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry to
it's
interrupt.
Okay.
My question is, this is Tim and Julie, and my question is on the what's confused. What would be the next step for clarity or to get the direction that you need for those issues that are confused?
So one of the things I think that helps with confusion, there's two things that immediately come to mind. And the first is, what's the last thing that you knew you were supposed to do? And if you can begin to put action to the last thing that you were certain of, that oftentimes will give you clarity for the here and now. I've also found that in times of confusion, it may just simply be that you need some rest. You know, are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting enough time for that reflection? How can you stop the world from spinning to gain enough time to begin to, as we talked about earlier, begin to ask the right questions around that? So if there's a particular area that seems confused, first make sure you're getting the proper sleep. Second, who is it that might be able to shed some light on that? Third, are you doing what you already know you should be doing? And what's the next logical step that would follow after that? But that comes back to that last question that we asked Jules, and that is, what is it that you want?
Oh, you stole my thunder.
Oh, well, jump in there because you're better.
Go, go, go.
You know, it's what is the end vision? Stephen Covey talks about begin with the end in mind. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the here and now that and the how of the here and now that we forget the ultimate vision. And sometimes if we can just give ourselves permission to say, you know what, there's a whole crap ton load of stuff that I need to get done today, but I'm going to push it to the side and I'm going to get a clear vision of what I really want for my life. And some of those things that seem so pressing, we call it the altar of the urgent, right? It's living in that place of reactionary versus action. And so if we can just stop the world, say, if it all burns up today, okay, I'm going to let it all burn up because I'm not going to continue to react to something. I'm going to stop. I'm going to listen. I'm going to think about, and as Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And we get into that place, and you and Tim know this exercise where we are. We are this. It's not we're going to do this. This is who we are. This is what we've experienced. This aligns with our life vision. And now that we're in that space, what took place from that place, what took place that got us to where we are? And in there will be natural steps that will come from a different perspective that the how-tos will become a little bit clearer. Greg, what would you add to that? Because you actually explained that a whole lot better than I usually do.
No, I think you did a great job, love. I think that I think the only thing that I would just put an exclamation point is that if I'm confused, I've learned over the years that one of the greatest questions I can ask myself is I really need to get clarity about what it is that I want. If I can get clarity about what it is that I want. And see, here's the thing. Sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I complicate that question. What do I want? So I complicate it with what I should want, what I want to want. See, because I've got my own set of programming and things that I've grown up with that people have programmed me to want or told me that I should want. But if I get down to the real honest answer to that question about what do I want, that almost always clears up my confusion. Now, if it doesn't, then I think that the next thing is that there is probably we need to focus in on truths in our lives, truths about what God says about us, since, you know, we can say that on these calls. And pause and really listen to that. Secondly, take it to the throne. And again, I don't mean this as a, you know, take one of these and everything's going to be okay. I'm serious. The very first video in the series that you all watched for this year was about surrender. And it was funny because we were talking with our daughter about this today. And she said, I'm not sure that I know exactly how to fully live surrendered. You know, so it's not that we can give you a pill or give you a quick explanation about what that looks like. It's kind of a process, actually, that we learn as we go through life when we learn how to trust God. But I think speaking truth over yourself and seeking God for the truth and really listening to him, pausing and listening to him will help clear up the confusion, aside from, obviously, what Julie said that I reiterated, which is, what do you really want? Does that answer your question?
Yes, that was very good. Thank you.
Okay, outstanding. Thank you for your question. Appreciate it. All right, we are at the top of the hour now, and we will hang with you as long as y'all want to. There's nobody else in the queue right now. But if there is one last question or comment, feel free to jump on there. If not, let me just say this to you. Next call, you want to make sure and get this. Julie, is it next week?
It is next week.
It's the 22nd, right?
Yep.
So we're going to be diligent about posting when the calls are going to be on the calendar. You know, we'll send you emails. We're going to put it on the Facebook page. We're going to try to keep you really aware. But on the next one, we have a very esteemed guest, Dr. Gary Chapman. He's the author of The Five Love Languages, if you're not familiar with the name. And The Five Love Languages actually is a series at this point. I think there's five or six different love language books. Probably, arguably, the most impactful book on marriage and relationship that has ever been written, or at least in our lifetime. There's been some.
And we
really
hate to admit it because we've written
four
books.
That's true.
We really like Dr. Chapman's book. It gives a great insight to the five love languages. If you don't have that book, would highly encourage you to get it to understand how your spouse expresses love.
And how you yourself express love, because to be quite honest with you, when I went through it, it was a bit of an eye-opener, even for me, in self-awareness. So listen, you don't want to miss that call again. That's the 22nd?
Yep,
22nd. The evening of the 22nd.
Evening, 7 o'clock.
Boom, there you have it. All right, folks, God bless you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. And you want to unmute and stop the recording, sir?
All right. Recording is officially over. If you want to see